and Infrastructure Limited's Q2 FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone telephone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome to you all. My name is Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Kinna Rubber and Infrastructure Limited. On behalf of the company, I'd like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings call for the second quarter of financial year 2023. Before we begin, let me mention a short cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's earnings call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's beliefs as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's financials and fundamentals of the quarter under review. Now, let me introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings call. We have with us Mr. Gaurav Sekhri, Joint Managing Director, Mr. Subodh Kumar Sharma, Director and Chief Operating Officer, and Mr. Anurup Arora, Vice President, Business Development. Without any further delay, I request Mr. Gaurav Sekhri for his opening remarks. Thank you. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Anuj. Good afternoon, everybody. My pleasure to welcome you all to our earnings conference call for the second quarter of financial year ending 2023. I hope everyone and your families are keeping well. Let me first start by giving a brief overview of the company so that everybody is on the same page. And after that, my colleague Subodh will brief you on the performance for the quarter under review. Kinna Rubber was incorporated in the year 1977, and today we are the largest end-of-life tire manufacturers in the country and one of the biggest in Asia. Our company manufactures high-quality products from recycling end-of-life truck and radial tires, which are used in road construction and maintenance, new tire manufacturing, conveyor belts, and various other applications, pretty much all applications where natural or virgin polymers are used, some level of substitution can happen with recycled rubber materials. The company is a pioneer in manufacturing of crumb rubber modifier, which is mixed with bitumen and is used extensively for road construction. Kinna is amongst the few players in India who manufacture micronized rubber powder that ranges from 120 to 140 mesh in size. This is used in making new tires and conveyor belts and high-performance rubber products. We have 5 plants strategically located pan-India, which give us a significant advantage as well as uniqueness to our business model, and this results in better logistic costs and efficiencies by being close to our customers. I will now request Subodh to please give you a brief of the performance of the company. Over to you, Subodh.
Hi, everyone. Thank you, Gaurav ji, and good afternoon, everyone. Let me first brief you on the fourth quarter financial performance first and then the full year. The operational revenue for the second quarter of financial year 23 stood at ₹65.4 crores. Usually, we see lower sales in Q2 as this is a peak monsoon season and road sector sales are impacted during this time. In spite of this, our sales have grown 23% year-on-year. EBITDA was reported at ₹9.6 crores and the EBITDA margin stood at 14.68%. Net profit after tax reported was ₹4 crores and the PAT margin was 6.42%. Coming to the half-yearly numbers, the revenue in the H1 FY23 was ₹147 crores, which grew by 45%. Year-on-year basis. The EBITDA stood at ₹21 crores, growing by approximately 15% year-on-year basis, and EBITDA margin stood at 14.24%. PAT for the first half was ₹10 crore, which grew by 32% on the yearly basis. On the operational front, starting with our road sector, excessive and extended monsoon in states such as UP, Rajasthan, Haryana, Gujarat, Uttarakhand affected sales of crumb rubber modified bitumen and emulsion. We expect a bounce back in road construction activity in Q3, resulting in higher sales for us too. We have already commenced work on setting up a central plant for manufacturing and process of modified bitumen at Gummidipundi plant, which is expected to be operational by the end of Q3. We continue to trade and expand our bitumen trading business to other geographies, but only on cash and carry model to complete our business portfolio for some of our esteemed customers. Also, we have secured product approvals in the state of Uttarakhand and Himachal Pradesh for another 1 year. On the non-road sector front, with EPR policy, which stands for Extended Producer Responsibility, getting notified, we are already in touch with several major tire producing companies to collaborate on waste collection and recycling. Central Pollution Control Board is working on the development of online platform for onboarding of all EPR stakeholders. Russia-Ukraine conflict has affected drop-in sales for tire manufacturing companies due severe effect on supply chain and demand globally. Resultantly, there has been slight drop in sales for the company in non-road sector as well. Tire companies continue to increase their focus on use of higher dosage of sustainable raw material in their tire compound, and the non-road sector will continue to experience robust growth in time to come. Reduction in global sea freight will make export make competitive in time to come. Coming to some general updates which have an impact on our operations, increase in bank rate by RBI in last two quarters has resultantly impacted interest cost for the company. We recently got ourselves rated from CARE and they have upgraded the credit rating for the company from BB- to BB. While this is a positive development, we are extremely focused to further upgrade our rating in next review. We are also continuously working to strengthen the supply chain through backward integration by setting up of collection network in other countries. With that, now we can open the floor to the question and answer session. Over to you, Anuj.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may enter star and one on their touchtone telephone. If your questions have been answered and you wish to withdraw yourself from the queue, you may enter star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, you may enter star and one. We have the first question from the line of Priyanka Shah from NM Securities. Please go ahead.
The opportunity. Sir, I want to understand the volume, revenue, and margin of crumb and reclaimed rubber business separately. So, can you throw some light?
Hi, this is Gaurav, Priyanka. So, you want a specific breakdown of within the non-road sector sales of crumb and reclaim. Is that right?
Yes. Correct, sir.
Okay. Is it? Can you just send us a mail and we can then mail it to you?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Kesha from Raksan Investors. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good afternoon, sir. Sir, firstly, on the upcoming EU shipment rules and their recycling lobby in support of ELT ban as well. Because they have also come up with a regulation to phase out crumb rubber in football pitches, which is baffling seeing the lack of data. But with all these, do you foresee a big problem going forward to get waste tires? Because we are sourcing majority of our input from EU and have enjoyed the cost advantage.
Hi, Keshav. Gaurav Sekri here. I don't see any impact of that, negative impact for sure on our business. I don't see that happening because if the use of crumb is going to reduce in European Union, it means more tires will be made available for shipments to people like us who can recover rubber from it and use it for either road applications or, you know, even in our products which we make for the non-road segment like tires and conveyor belts. So that actually should work in our favor if this is the direction EU is taking. Personally, I think it is an overkill of a reaction, if you ask me. But, you know, they have done their studies and it seems this is their conclusion as of now. But I don't see any negative impact, to answer your question.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, Keshav. Yeah, hi. This is Anurup. Keshav, in this also associate, they don't have the infrastructure within the Europe to process all these tires. So even if they take such decisions, they can't recycle those tires within the EU territory. And as we speak, we are in talks with multiple, you know, end-of-life tire management companies in Europe who are, you know, supporting us to, you know, accredit us as an approved recycler so that they can send their material outside Europe. So you know, having this thing in development, this would not happen in time to come because they just don't have the facilities to recycle the tires.
Great to hear, sir. And, sir, for me, the biggest conundrum with crumb rubber usage and market is figuring out where the acceptance, where in the adoption and acceptance curve we are. So when I look at, say, South Africa, Australia, US, a lot of countries are already using it or they are sort of validating to prove that, yes, CRMB is actually very good from for roads, and that directly helps from carbon emission point of view. So on one hand, we have done very well, are seeing quite a bit of traction. So I am of the same view as you for the opportunity, but it's a little bit confusing on when it becomes the norm or scale substantially. For example, the biggest private vitamin manufacturer in the last call mentioned about demand not being much, and even for their gross road projects, it's far and few in between to get some project that requires crumb rubber. So could you please help with this disconnect?
So, the Gaurav here, Keshav, I'll jump in to give some more clarity to you. I think what you're asking is that, you know, while the validation is there that crumb rubber is a good product to be used with bitumen and you make better roads, why still its adoption is not at a very fast rate? Is that your question?
Yes, sir. And sir, I mean, recently a listed company who's the largest private vitamin manufacturer, they also mentioned that the CRMB demand is not that much and all the road projects they get, it's far and few in between to get some project that requires crumb rubber. So on one hand, we are very bullish and I mean, I can definitely see the value in the product, but is there a certain timeline that you visualize, maybe 3 years down the line, we'll be at a secular growth trajectory?
So Keshav, here are two or three things which may help you, get better clarity on this. So while the efficacy of the product has got validated over last two decades, its adoption rate is slow, and that is where we see a huge opportunity. Only 5 or 6% of the roads made today are still using crumb rubber modified bitumen. Some of it has to do with, you know, the way the government policy is structured. For example, in the Indian Road Congress guidelines, it is specified that crumb rubber modified bitumen should be used for high traffic roads.
50 MSA
and above. Now, our argument and our request to government is this, that if something is good for high traffic, it is also good for low traffic. And if it is helping environment in the same, as added benefit, then it should be encouraged. So this is sinking in to the government, but any policy change, etc., takes, you know, time. We expect it to happen because we haven't had any negative pushback. But when they actually do it, that would be a game changer.
And secondly, in the past, couple of months, the top layer work, you know, any new major or completion level, that stage is yet to come in the many highways. I mean, the projects are slightly delayed because of the monsoon reason, because of some, you know, the NHAI, their own, challenges with the environment department, etc.
So our product goes right on the top, Keshav. So that's the reason, I mean. But as per the policy and as per the guidelines, that modified bitumen has to be used on the top layer.
Sure, sir. Sir, can I ask one more question or should I come back in the queue?
Yeah, you can go ahead.
Go ahead, Keshav.
So, sir, one very basic one. Could you help understand how the price setting is done across the spectrum of products? So, starting from road, where I reckon would be a tender based, and the non-road with the most sticky business, such as the tire companies, do they carry a cost plus pricing with a certain time based pass through of costs, and what the lag would be? So, basically, across the board, how the price setting moves.
So Keshav, Gaurav here, very broadly, the road sector business is, one part is with the government public sector refineries, where it is an annual contract, biannual even, so that is one part of the business. The other, which is with contractors, is more based on, you can say, quarterly pricing, and then the on the non-road sector side with the tire companies, etc., usually a price is agreed for about quarterly as well. So that is how the pricing mechanism works in our business.
Sure, sir. Sir, I do have more questions, but I will come back in the queue. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Keshav.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may enter star and one. We have the next question from the line of Ankur Kumar from Alpha Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for taking my question. Sir, my question is regarding, as in the road segment, we can understand that there is monsoon, and so that is why there is a seasonal dip in this quarter. But in non-road segment also, you are saying there is some reduction. Can you please explain the reason for the same?
Hi, Keshav. Gaurav here. Thank you for your question. We have not seen a very major dip in the non-road sector. The slight dip has happened because the production of the tire companies, etc., seems to be some disruption has been there because of supply chain issues. A lot of synthetic rubber used to come from Russia for these tire companies, natural rubber, carbon. So I think some of those disruptions has caused lower production in tire companies. Even their export markets have got impacted. A lot of Indian tire businesses are very successful exporters of OTRs, for example. BKT is one such company, etc. So they've had some disruption both on their production side as well as their export side, which has had some minimal impact on us. We have managed to cushion that impact because we have acquired new customers. So we have not suffered as much as, you know, individually tire companies have.
Sure, sir. And so for the coming quarter, do we expect this 65 crore type run rate to continue, or we expect the 80 crore that we did in the Q1 that should be continuing?
We are confident that it will be Q3, you know, our sales will revive back to something closer to what we had in Q1. And we are still on target to finish this financial year with a top line growth of between 30% to 35%.
Sure, sir. And sir, on margin side, any guidance?
On margins, my guidance to you will be that last year we were at 16% EBITDA, and this financial year, I believe with the higher sales expected in H2, we should be able to recover some of this lost margin and probably be between 15 and 16%.
Sure, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Participants, if you have a question, you may enter star and one. We have the next question from the line of Kushagra Vajni from Rolls-Royce. Please go ahead. Kushagra, your line has been unmuted. Please go ahead. If you have muted the line from your end, please unmute and speak. So we move to the next question. We've lost the participant's line. The next question is from the line of Keshav from Rafsan Investors. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir, just one question. So if we take a 3 to 5 year view, what's our aspirational margin as well as road versus non-road mix?
See, in terms of growth, we would like to, you know, in the next 3 years, get very close to 500 odd crores of top line is the run rate we are going towards, and the business development work we're doing is along those lines. On the margin side, we certainly expect the economies of scale to kick in and start yielding results to us with this growth. So at this point, that's all I can share with you, Keshav.
And sir, do you foresee any margin risk going forward, maybe near term, if crude price is in the...
We have seen, you know, crude shock in its most extreme in the last 2 years of our business. You know, when COVID hit, crude became, even zero value, I mean, but $40, let's say, a barrel. And then with the conflict, it went back up to north of $120, $130. So we've been there, done that, frankly. We've gone through this scenario. We have not seen it have any major impact on our business. So I don't expect that to be a challenge.
So, sir, and sir, we've enjoyed the cost differential in imported tires versus the domestic ones. And say 3 years from now, when the 100% mandates come in for EPR, do we foresee a similar kind of raw material costs that we, you know, currently get for imports coming from domestic tires?
See, the situation is today, we are all having to import tires because domestically tires availability collection is not there in organized fashion, and we are kind of working on imported tires. Once India with this generation of 1.4 million tons odd of waste tires collection gets organized and we have access to that, certainly the markets outside India will have to correct their pricing downward, in my view, because today their situation will not change even in time to come, because their recycling in their own countries is minimal. They will still need to come to us for recycling. So I think our optionality of raw material will increase dramatically with this EPR being implemented, and the imported tire pricing will have to correct accordingly.
Sure. So, sir, that means that even for the non-road vertical, we'll be looking at a very strong export mix going forward, maybe 3 years from now, right? Because we'll be the one who will be processing all the tires. I mean,
very much so, and we already know that we have a tremendous headroom for growth in exports when we compare ourselves to peers. You know, we have peers in the industry who are performing much better than us in exports, but that is also because historically they've had those markets. We are just beginning to get ourselves established with those customers. So we have fantastic headroom for growth, and we are actively working towards that.
So, but do we have peers in the micronized rubber powder as well, or that is an area where we will be the only one?
I'm sorry, Keshav, I also just want to quickly chat with the moderator that, you know, we need to give everyone sufficient chance to ask questions.
Yeah,
so this should not just become a monologue conversation between you and us.
No problem, sir. No problem. I'll come back.
Yeah. And you're very welcome to also connect with us offline via Valorem, you know, to have a more detailed conversation if you wish.
Absolutely, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may enter star and one. We have the next question from the line of Prajay Gada from Wealthy Via. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
So there are just two questions from my side. The first one is that what is the capacity for your new plant? the Gomoti Pondi plant.
Okay, I think, hi, this is Subodh here. I think you are referring from the point, like I have mentioned in my statement that we are starting one plant in Gumudipundi, right?
Yes, sir.
So, Gumudipundi, we are already having tire recycling plant, but on the road sector business growth side, we are putting up a centralized plant for manufacturing and processing of modified bitumen.
Okay.
So that can produce somewhere around 2,000 tons of modified bitumen every month. So that is in the commencement stage, and we hope to start that plant by December. So idea is to basically service the South India contracting companies, those who are making roads on that side, and there is a big demand of modified bitumen. So with that perspective, we are setting up this plant.
Okay, sir.
Yeah.
And one more question from my side. In earlier con call, I mentioned that due to customer acquisition, there was some loss in the revenue. So I just want to know whether that same also incurred in this revenue in this quarter as well, and if it's possible to incur in the earlier quarter, in the further quarters too.
Your line is slightly garbled. We didn't hear you very accurately, but I think your question is about customer acquisition and the impact that may have in Q3. Is that your question?
Yes, sir. So whether it has impacted in Q2 and is it going to impact in Q3? If you could quantify it to us.
So in my view, the our slight correction in EBITDA margins that has happened in Q1, Q2, there is a small role there also on account of new customer acquisition. And to that extent, we want to be very focused on our growth number of 35% or hopefully even north of that. And to that extent, whatever impact it had to have on our bottom line, it is already visible. I don't see it impacting us any further. I hope that gives you some clarity.
Okay, so from from Q3 onwards, there would be not that significant impact because of customer acquisition, and going forward,
correct,
it won't be any.
Correct.
Okay, sure, sir. And any further capex for any further addition of plants, like any further expansion that you have?
So Gaurav here, we are continuing to evaluate opportunities. We have 2 to 3 very interesting opportunities we are working on capacity expansion, new plant, greenfield, etc. And but we only see them happening or being executed or any money being committed towards them probably in Q2 of next financial year.
Okay, sure, sir. So that's all from my side, sir. Thank you so much. And wish you all the best for the future, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you have a question, you may enter star and one. To ask a question, you may enter star and one. We have the next question from the line of Rohit Balakrishnan from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible, sir?
Yes, Rohit.
So, sir, you mentioned in terms of you've acquired new customers in your non-road business. Can you share were these customers in the export markets or in the domestic markets?
So, Subodh, why don't you...
This is Subodh here. And see, again, when you're working with the tire company, so it takes around 1.5 years to 2 years for the stable business. So that's the reason, we are very much hopeful that from the next year, these things will be over. So tire company takes their own time. So our customers basically in the out of India also and in India also. At some of the accounts, we are working, and that business likely to mature in the next 6 months to 12 months.
Okay. And sir, if I, let's say this year or last year we did about 230 crores and this year you're saying 30-35% growth, roughly what share of our business would be from exports? I don't have that number. I'm sure you've given that in the annual report, but if you can just share it, I don't have it handy.
It is probably under 10% where we are at today. Yeah.
Understood. And just on this point, before I move to my next question, just on this point, you had also mentioned that you see exports getting some benefit because of reducing freight rates. So have the freight rates already started to come down, versus what they were earlier? Can you just give some outlook? How do you see the freight rates for your specific products, let's say for this year, for the coming quarters?
So I will have Anurup is here with me. He can give you better insight on how the freight rates are moving.
Yeah. Hi, Rohit. Anurup this side. So, Rohit, from the import side, first of all, I'll speak. We have started seeing some good reduction in the freights in across multiple sectors, and particularly from the Australia sector and, you know, from this Asia-Pacific region, we are seeing drastic reduction in freights. So, you know, of course, the landed price of the raw material is coming down. And on the export side also, we have Sri Lanka or the South Africa market to cater to in Latin America, and the prices for exports is also down by around 20-25% in exports. So, yeah, we are seeing, we are getting more competitive in exports also versus the other players who are there. And on the import side, as I said, we are getting good landed price reduction. So, yeah, that's what it is. I hope I am able to answer.
Yeah, that's helpful. Got it.
Yeah.
I'll come back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you have a question, you may enter star and one. We have the next question from the line of Kesha from Raksan Investors. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir, when we say that some of our peers already have connects with export customers in tire companies, so do we mean reclaimed rubber or also micronized rubber powder?
Largely, Gaurav here, Keshav, largely I would mean reclaimed rubber, because that is where we have our most competition with our peers. On MRP, we are, I believe, quite a way ahead, both in capacity, credibility, compared to our peers. So there we don't have as much competition, but yes, certainly reclaim, which is also a larger product. It's, you know, it's every time. Companies have been using it for decades now, so they are more familiar with its usage. So that is where we see tremendous headroom for growth for exports.
In reclaimed or in MRP, sorry, sir?
Reclaimed.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may enter star and one. Participants, if you have a question, you may enter star and one. We have the next question from the line of Trivesh Samani from DS Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon. Just going back to little medium-term ambition that you called out, if you were to look at 3 year out, 500 crore, which is about, 120-odd crore quarterly run rate, how do you see the, mix for us playing out at that space? So what I'm trying to understand is, the growth drivers between road and non-road between now till that point.
So the more predictable growth comes from the non-road sector. On the road sector, from the visibility we have of the policy today, we believe this is very much achievable. But with some of the policy initiatives which are in the works, if they happen, then, all bets are off. The growth could be much, much higher and more substantial. So we are we have been cautious in what we are predicting today, and we believe this is, you know, very much realistic.
Great. Good to hear that. And if you can also help us understand the gross margin trajectory, right? It's been slightly more volatile. I think EBITDA side, we have more predictable range that you called out. Gross margin, how do you see it playing out based on the input cost? And because we understand some currency impact and some shipping costs and all those put together sort of create you know, supply side that dynamics for us. Could you give some ballpark numbers on gross margin side that you see how it plays out? Maybe not quarterly, but on a yearly level.
So even on gross margin side, we are not expecting any major impact, you know, on account of some of the variables you just mentioned. And there is a fairly decent degree of stability on gross margins too. Sometimes our product mix changes. We may be doing some more training of bitumen in a certain month or a quarter, which may throw an aberration. But otherwise, mostly our margins, even at gross margin level, are fairly predictable. And we can, we can, you know, if you send us a mail, we can send you some information, Mr. Somani.
All right, sounds good. I'll do that. And one last one was about, you know, the global competitive landscape. You sort of called out export being a, you know, more sharp focus and growth area for us. So when we sort of export from India, do you see competition just from India, or you see the competition from different geography also coming in? And how do we position ourselves outside the pricing, right? If you can show some qualitative comments on that.
Sure.
Hi, Mr. Somani. This is Subodh here. So, yeah, so on the reclaim side, like, you know, China is the largest producer for reclaim rubber. And it is almost, you know, 10 times more production capacity they have. So China is the largest. So India is also exporting a lot. Again, 4 lakh tons of installed capacity. India is exporting somewhere around 1.5 to 2 lakh tons of reclaimed rubber, whereas China produces somewhere around 40 lakh tons of reclaim annually. So these two countries are the major, you know, countries, those who export reclaimed rubber around the world.
Okay, great. And how do we differentiate when we sort of reach out to client and position ourselves against these big countries like China, or whether, you know, local competition from India? Is it more around quality? I'm just trying to understand that, how do customers choose us versus others?
See, China make high tensile reclaim. India also make high tensile reclaim, but China is having limitation in sources of the natural rubber. So they consume the high tensile rubber immediately after the production for their domestic usage. They export also, and you know, India product, whatever we are manufacturing, our other peers are manufacturing, they are stable. So you know, that way we can differentiate the quality wise. Secondly, the very important feature in the technical property of the product is the specific gravity or the density. So India is ahead as compared to China on that front, because Chinese tires are, you know, they are recycling their own tires. So with the property side, so their reclaim is slightly dense, which is not acceptable in general by the good manufacturing tire company, like multinational tire company. So that's the difference in between the two country products.
All right, sounds good. Thank you. That answers my question. I have some more, but I'll probably send them offline. Right. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you have a question, you may enter star and one. We have the next question from the line of Rohit Balakrishnan from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you again for the opportunity. So in terms of your micronized rubber powder business, that segment is largely export right now, or is it also domestic? And just a larger question, I mean, in terms of that product, how different it is from reclaim, And would you have a sense, like you gave some sense in terms of the size of that, size of reclaimed rubber in terms of production and export from India and globally, I mean, China being the number one. So could you have some sense on the overall market size of this product also, and how would it be varied, how different would it be from, let's say, reclaimed in terms of its usage and properties, just a layman terms?
Okay, this is Subodh here. So both the products are different,
Rohit.
So both the products are different in nature. The one is the, in the powder form, and it is totally vulcanized. Whereas the reclaimed rubber is comes in the sheet form, and it's a, you know, the low cost polymer. It acts as a low cost polymer, and it is being used since decades by the tire industry, and it can be vulcanized with the polymer. But if you see the technical performance, so performance wise micronized rubber powder is much ahead than the reclaimed rubber, because it again works on the nanotechnology. You know, the more you grind, the more you micronize, the more you find the any product, its dosages without affecting the end product quality, and it can load more and more in the compound. So both the product are different in nature, and the way micronized rubber is picking up, so this is a futuristic new age raw material and part of, you know, most of the tire companies' raw material bouquet.
Understood. And in terms of, let's say, the overall current usage by, globally, would you have any sense on that?
See, right now, if I talk about Tina, so our around major sales in the Indian tire producing company, and we are exporting it to Sri Lanka. But the product is very well accepted by the tire industry across the world. And, you know, this product was launched way back in, 2011-12 by American company Lehigh Technologies, and they were marketing the product with different brand name rather than recycled rubber material. They were selling it as a Polydyne product, and that product is being used by all multinational tire company across the nation. And later on, that producer was taken over by Michelin tire company. So that's the reason in last 2 years, many multinational tire companies are showing interest in Tina product, and they are, you know, taking trials. And also we see in the future there is a good export market for us in this space also, in this product line.
Okay. So specifically this product, how do you see, let's say, 2-3 years out, any kind of, from a rupee number for you in terms of sales or percentage revenue, when you said 500 crores, what kind of percentage could be from this specific business line or product line? I mean, roughly, if you have any...
Gaurav here, let me give you some historical data, and, you know, you can try and get a better sense of the potential. When we started manufacturing this product, we were averaging sales of about 150 tons a month. We are now doing around 800 tons a month of this product. And we believe that their potential is still very, very large in India itself, because many tire companies in India are still experimenting with it. They haven't fully included it in their manufacturing. They are, they're beginning to use very small dosages or only in a certain type of tire or a certain part of tire. Whereas we are seeing some other competitors of theirs who are very evolved and using much higher volume. So the potential exists, but this is a journey a tire company has to explore on its own, because, you know, they are very secretive. They don't discuss too much with us about their recipe and their user cases. We can only guide them to the extent possible. And then from then on, they kind of have to explore, their journey with this product. Reclaim, on the other hand, is a more evolved product. They've been using it for decades. They know it. And each tire compounder is like a chef in a kitchen. You know, they have their own recipe. Some are completely sold on MRP and switching to MRP with small portions of reclaim. Some are still traditionally using a lot of reclaim and very little of MRP. So the potential is very large, is what I'm trying to give a sense to you.
See, further to add here, the India consumes somewhere around 1.2 million tons of natural rubber. out of which around 70-75% is consumed by tire industry. So easily 5% to 8% can be replaced with the micronized rubber powder without affecting the end product. So that's the potential you can think of.
Got it. That's very helpful. Sir, and this last question, what would be the pricing differential between the normal reclaimed rubber and MRP?
It depends on grade to grade basis. You know, there are various grades in the reclaim. There are various grades in the micronized rubber powder. So maybe you can write to us through Valorem and we can share the more details about the pricing.
Ballpark, you know, reclaim ranges from 45 rupees to 55 rupees, and MRP is also very similar, you know, plus or minus 1 or 2 rupees. So that's sort of the range of any of these high-performance recycled rubber materials, per kg, I'm saying.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much, sir. This is very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you have a question, you may enter star and one. To ask a question, you may enter star and one. Participants, if you have a question, you may enter star and one. As there are no further questions, I would like to hand the conference back to the management from Tina Rubber and Infrastructure Limited for closing comments. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate all the participants who have shown interest in our company and spared their valuable time to have this interaction with us. We look forward to interacting with everyone more often, and I wish everyone a good evening and a wonderful day ahead. Thank you.
Thank you, members of the management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Tina Rubber and Infrastructure Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.